chapter 6, verses 47 and 48. And when even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. And he saw them toiling in rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them walking upon the sea, and would have passed by them. Oh, that the Lord would grant that grace that is so much needed to look into his holy word. We need grace, we need the power of God to shine in it. I was thinking as we were singing that beautiful hymn just now, oh, the grace that shines in some of those poets. Oh, the experience that they passed through, and how they were so helped and favoured of God to put those things into words. Well, oh, that the Lord might help us to say a few more things regarding these words before us. We want to try and come as we might be helped to the 48th verse. And he saw them toiling in rowing. I know we tried to speak a little very feebly this morning about this toiling in rowing. I don't know what we shall say this afternoon, but it is with me. And I know this, that the people of God know much of this in their experiences, what it is to be found in this pathway, toiling in rowing, because the wind was contrary. That's what it was. That's why they were toiling in rowing. And how often that is so with the people of God. And if you and I are his children, we shall prove it. Friends, the word makes it perfectly clear. There's no easy way to heaven. It's through much tribulation. But friends, tribulation will either be sanctified to us and we should be humbled under it, or we should be hardened and rebellious. Oh, how we need then to be humbled. Also, it comes to mind that word in, I think it's Isaiah 38, I wouldn't be sure, but by these things men live. What things? These winds, these contrary things, these crooked things, these painful things, these things that we don't understand. Why have they come our way? We may have tried our utmost to steer clear of some things, but they have come. We couldn't stop them. It may be personal, it may be in our families, maybe our loved ones, friends, these things come. What we might see as those contrary winds. And it was those contrary winds that were causing the disciples to toil in rowing. They were trying their best. They were labouring. Maybe getting exhausted, making no headway. Nothing they could do about it because of the contrary winds. Isn't that what we find in our pathways? We try and seek the Lord again and again, but how often there are contrary winds. How often the enemy intrudes and troubles and tempts and makes many suggestions. But you see, what hits us the hardest is this. The Lord seems to hide his face. You see, we said this morning, the disciples were in the ship. They was in their right place. Yes, they wasn't in their wrong place. The Lord had commanded them to do it. And you and I might find this very often in our pathway, that we're in the right pathway. We're trying to serve the Lord. We're trying to walk in his ways. But all the things that come upon us and trouble us and you may have well prayed your way along, begging that the Lord would prevent these things taking place. But friends, there are those things that come upon us, that take place, and that the Lord knows all about them. And he knows how they come, by what means, and who is involved. But there's travail. I suppose toiling and rowing, in rowing, and travailing are much alike, really. But friends, what do we read? When Israel travailed, she brought forth. So friends, if we're travailing, or if we're toiling in rowing, shall we bring forth? If we're toiling and rowing, or travailing, what are we doing? We're struggling against powers. Often evil powers, temptations, the unbelief of our hearts. The disciples were struggling against the powers of the wind, the waves. But as we said this morning, they didn't give up. And friends, can you and I give up? What does it mean to us? What would it mean to us if we gave up? Wouldn't it mean despair? I felt I generally often always feel very troubled as to what to read for the second time regarding a word, and I wondered whatever I was going to read today, and I looked up the word to see if there was any references. I couldn't see any references regarding these two verses at all, but it came to me about Jacob and Joseph. Oh, how vivid their pathway was, how they travelled, but how the Lord led them forth by the right way, and how Providence unfolded the book. You know, that's very wonderful, and I love to see it. God's providence unfolds the book, and his timing is perfect. You see how Joseph's brothers were determined to have their revenge. They hated him. They hated his dreams. But that what they didn't realise was that those dreams were not Joseph's dreams. They were God's dreams. God put them into the heart of Joseph. God revealed to Joseph the things that were to come to pass. And his brethren and his father rebelled. They couldn't accept it. Not realise that God was behind it, and that one day they would literally bow before their youngest son, youngest brother. But friends, the goodness of the Lord in it. The Lord knew what he would do, you see. The Lord says, I will work, and who shall let it? Joseph mustn't be killed. They were tempted to kill him. But no, Joseph must be spared. And as you know, one thing led to another. God's providence unfolded the book. There was the pit at a convenient came at a convenient time. They cast him down it. It was dry. He was safe. No harm came to him. But he hadn't got to stop there. He'd got to move on. He'd got to go into the land of Egypt. How it was brought about. The travellers, they came that way. He was sold. But then, you see, there was a connection to Pharaoh, the king. The wonders of these things. I know Joseph was troubled, and so would you and I be. And the word of the Lord tried him. Of course it did. You know the various things that took place. It's all recorded. He was falsely accused. He was cast into prison. He was there 2 years. But the Lord was with him. The Lord manifested his presence from time to time, here and there. Friends, the Lord is still the same today. You and I are in his hands. Our circumstances are in his hands. Our families are in his hands. The number of our days is in his hands. The preparation for death is in the Lord's hands. death draws on apace, we are continually being reminded of the certainty of it. First one, then another is removed, and they enter into eternity, and they are seen no more. I suppose many of us could look back over many years and count up quite a number. No idea what that number might be, but it must be quite a number. But friends, the question is, are you and am I prepared? You see, left to ourselves, we just cast it off. We're apt to think and say all sorts of things. Well, you might say, I've got a hope in His mercy. The Lord has led me in His paths. He has blessed me. He has done various things. That might well be true, but where are we today? Is our religion alive, or is it dead? Is it stagnant? Friends, David knew what it was for his religion to be stagnant. Do you and I? I find I have to cry unto the Lord many times to quicken me into life. Quicken me into life. Friends, if the Lord called for us this night and took us into eternity, are we ready? You might say, well, I believe the Lord has showed to me that He has an everlasting love toward me, that He has put my sins away. He has cast them all into the depths of the sea. That may well be. But how is it today? Is faith still in exercise? Are we still enjoying the joys of His salvation? Do we feel the sacred presence of the Lord is with us? Or are we just jogging along in an empty formality as we have done perhaps many years? Friends, there's been many that have had a religion that looked right, but it was wrong. It was only of the head. They never got to heaven. They were cast out. They were turned away. They had a name to live. They were dead. They looked like the people of God. They spake the same language, but they hadn't got the experience in their heart. That was the difference. How is it with you and I? Is there something going on now, at this time, in our hearts? Or are we dead? Are we just going on in an empty form? Are we saying, oh well, that'll be all right when the Lord comes? He'll take me to be with, to ever, forever with Him. Friends, the that's a very solemn place to get into, dead, unconcerned. What about our sins? Well, you say, the Lord's pardoned my sins, he's told me so. But what about all the sins that you and I are sinning daily? Daily, hourly. Are we conscious of it? Does it concern us? Friends, if we're rightly exercised, if we're spiritually in a healthy state, we should be very concerned about it. Especially as we draw closer and closer to the end of our lives. It will be the language of the hymn writer, where he says something like this: am I made a real Christian? Am I his or am I not? Am I washed in the Redeemer's blood? I haven't got it right, and I may have got more than one hymn, I don't know. But friends, this will be our language before our God. This will be the concern and the exercise of our heart. Am I his? Is it well with me? Will it be well with me? Friends, we can't, if we're spiritually healthy, we can't be satisfied with the form of things. We can't be satisfied to go on and on and not hearing his voice. We shall want to hear his voice. We shall want to know he's near. We shall want to know his eye is upon us. Well, you say, I know that. That is so. But we shall want more than that. We shall want to feel it. We want to experience it. It's experience, friends, that counts. It doesn't matter what people might say these days. There's many things that are said which are false. They're not true. There's many that say, oh, I want a teaching ministry. I don't want experimental religion. Friends, what a sorry place to come to with no experience, no experimental religion. Real religion is experimental from the beginning to the end. And so it is in the Word of God. And that's perfectly clear. Do we know the Lord or do we not? Do we know his voice or do we not? Do we know when he's in the service, in the preaching of the Word? Friends, it's nothing to do with the minister regarding the power, the application of the word. It's all of grace. It's the power of God. Blessed be his holy name. And when the Lord speaks, his blessed word will be heard, and it will come right where we are, and it will profit us. And it will lay with us. It will abide with us. And these are the things, friends, that we shall want if we're living souls. And we won't be satisfied with the form, the letter, however true it may be. It's the power that we want. The application of the word. Well, friends, he saw them. He saw them toiling in rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. The wind was contrary. And it wasn't only contrary unto them, it was the fourth watch, the darkest hour, often, friends, we find this. We get into various trials and troubles and circumstances, and it gets worse and worse. And friends, very often we find before deliverance comes, it is the darkest hour just before. It was so here, the fourth watch of the night. There they were, toiling in rowing. Oh, friends, is that where you are to die? Toiling in rowing? Is it the darkest hour? Is it got worse, steadily worse? Is your prayer to die? Give me Christ, or else I die. Have you come to that place? No hope in self. Tempted, tormented, perhaps by the adversary, the devil. But oh, friends, the Lord saw. He saw them. You know, we do say, don't we, oftentimes, the Lord, He never comes too late. He never comes before His time, and He doesn't come too late. The Lord knew where the disciples were. He knew what time of the night it was. He knew that things were at their darkest point, and that the winds were so powerful that they couldn't make any headway at all. But He saw them. I like that. He's still the same. Same God today, friends. He knows what's tormenting you. He knows whether it's the enemy. He knows all that has taken place in your life. Maybe at the present. May not be personal, it may be relative, may be your loved ones, it may be in the family. Ah, friends, what a mercy. The Lord sees all. Saw the prodigal son, didn't he? He got right away from religion, right away from his father's house, into a far country. And he thought, well, I shan't be seen here. My way won't be edged up here. No doubt he thought many things like that. But how wrong he was. How his pathway was ordered by God. How he was driven to the footstool of mercy, where he had to repent. He had to confess his sin. And he had to return to his father's house. Ah, friends, how blessed, how sacred. there's been many that have said, I'll never go back. No. Never go back. I don't doubt the prodigal son never thought he'd go back. He probably vowed he never would, but he had to, you see. It was a question of life and death. And when it comes to a question of life and death, when it comes to a question of, let's put it straight, friends, heaven or hell, when it comes to that, then, friends, we have to think. Then we have to act. It's give me Christ or else I die. Because we know it is revealed to us by the power and Spirit of God that hell is our portion. Hell is our just deserts. Because of our sins, because of the pathway that we've walked in. Ah, friends, oh, the Lord sees his children as they are toiling in rowing, trying to press forward, trying to find the Lord. Going backward and forward, cannot find him. I don't doubt that was the fourth watch, as it were, the darkest hour, with the one in the canticles where she said, saw ye him whom my soul loveth? She didn't get any encouragement, did she? But she went a little further and she found. You see, friends, these things are personal. They're personal. We know the Lord sometimes uses various means. He sometimes uses his servants to lead a child of God in that pathway where they are blessed. Very sacred, friends. Very wonderful. Very humbling to be used of God. But the power is his. It's not the man. The man is serving God. The man is doing God's bidding. Oh, how essential it is, friends, to be emptied of self, that we might be used of our God. Well, he saw them toiling in rowing. But the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them, walking upon the sea, and would have passed by them. All the wonders of God and his power. He came in the most least expected way. He came walking on the sea. Something that was never heard of. Something that was never seen. But here we have the Son of God. Is there anything too hard for me? God says. There was his disciples in the midst of the sea, on their own in the boat, and the Lord wanted to join them. And he did. Friends, the Lord doesn't need anything to use, as it were. He's not like us. We're dependent on means, various means, such as transport and so on. But our God, He commands. He is able to do anything. He can walk on the sea. He can hide himself, as it were, disappear, vanish out of their sight. And many things might be said regarding the power of God. But in this case, the Lord chose to come walking on the sea. They were staggered. They were amazed. The words tells us that they were amazed because of this miracle. The miracle that the Lord had already done regarding the bread and the fishes didn't mean anything to them. Why? Because their hearts were hardened. They'd seen these things so many times. You know, friends, we're no different, are we? You take our life, your life, my life. Don't we take it for granted, day after day, that we shall still be here tomorrow? Friends, we don't know whether we shall be here tomorrow. How many of those that we have known and loved that have gone before us, they've gone in a moment of time. Many have. Some without warning. Others have had warnings. It's been half expected, but when the time has come, it's been instant. Gone. Friends, how we need to be exercised about these things, concerned about these things. Our life, it's personal. We must not, we want the Lord to deliver us from passing these things on and applying them to others. We can easily do that. But friend, and you know, sometimes we say, well, oh, that word, I was listening for you. That came right in your pathway. Well, it might have done. On the other hand, how do they know? If the Lord didn't apply it to them, it didn't. But friends, we need to be listening for ourselves. I know you and your say perhaps to me, well, we should pray for one another, so we should. But when we come to the house of God, friends, what do we come for? Isn't it to be led in His paths? Isn't it to have tokens and confirmations that the Lord has a love toward us, that He does care for us, that He does know where we are and what we're in, and don't we want the pathway sanctified to us? You and I can't say unto the Lord, choose thou the way and lead on, not of ourselves. We don't know what that may mean, what that may be. But when the Lord is near, then we can. When He is near to us and He is precious, we can trust Him then, and we can leave it all in His hands. Well, friends, oh, that the Lord might bless something from these things. I feel there's there's so many things that might be said regarding this world, but I haven't got the ability. But may the Lord bless something of the few things, and may there be that which shall prove to be of Him, because if it's been of Him, that will be blessed, that will be profitable to us. May the Lord bless His word for His name's sake.